I'm Phil Nee with WRCO Sports. Home talent baseball games yesterday. Wisconsin Dells was a winner against Cazenovia, 10-3. Some other holiday games, Ashton, 16-6 over Wanakee, Reedsburg, 7, and Plain, 4. In the Western section, Dodgeville, 3-0 over Ridgeway in a rain-shortened 5-inning game. Argyle, 10, Wyota, 2. Verona got the win against Arena, 10-2, Schulzburg-Benton over Blanchardville, 9-7, Belleville 14-3 against Muscadet. Pine Bluff, Mount Horeb with a 3-0 victory against Hollandale. In the southeast section, Fort Atkinson 5-1 over McFarland, Utica beat Stoughton 3-2, Jefferson 4, Albion 3, Evansville 2-1 over Footville, and Cambridge 17-1 over Lake Mills. There's plenty of home talent baseball this weekend. Games coming up on Sunday, including Muscadet hosting Arena at 1 o'clock. We'll have the game on FM 100.9 and WRCO.com. Argyle will be at Ridgeway, Verona at Pine Bluff Mount Horeb, Wyota at Hollandale. Also, it will be Belleville at Blanchardville, Schulzburg-Benton at Dodgeville. Arena and Wyota make up a game on July 19th that was canceled earlier this year. And Wyota and Dodgeville play on July 12th. A few games that were postponed recently and a change in the schedule. Yesterday in American Legion baseball, it was the Viroqua Legion team over Westby, final score of 2-1. The Brewers were forced to settle for a split of a four-game series in the Rocky Mountains after dropping a 4-3 decision to Colorado on Thursday. The Rockies touched starter Tobias Myers for 3 runs in the first 2 innings, watched Milwaukee tie the score in the 6th, then scored the game winner on a Jake Cave home run in the bottom of that same inning. Myers took the loss. Things don't get any easier on the West Coast swing as the Brewers take on the West Division leading Dodgers tonight in Los Angeles. Aaron Civale will take to the mound with a 2-6 record and a 5.07 ERA in 17 starts for Tampa Bay this season. He was acquired by the Brewers in a trade Wednesday and is slated to start tonight's opener against the Dodgers right-handed pitcher Tyler Glasnow. In other action from the 4th in the National League, it was Washington 1-0 over the Mets, St. Louis 3, Pittsburgh 2, the Cubs 10-2 over Philadelphia, San Francisco 4-2 over Atlanta, also Arizona 9 and the Dodgers 3. In the American League, Minnesota 12, Detroit 3, Houston 5-3 over Toronto, Cleveland beat the White Sox 8-4, Oakland 5, the Angels 0, Seattle 7-3 over Baltimore, Tampa Bay 10, and Kansas City 8. In interleague play, Cincinnati 8-4 over the Yankees, Boston 6, Miami 5, San Diego 3-1 winners against Texas. Defending champion Argentina advanced to the Copa America semifinals by beating Ecuador by a score of 4-2 on penalty kicks following a 1-1 draw after conceding a tying goal in the second half injury time. There's still more to prove for the Packers' youthful receiving core. Pro Football Focus says some nice things in its latest report that rates the NFL's top receiving groups. Green Bay comes in at number 14. PFF Magazine recognizes the potential of Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, and Dontavian Wicks, but rates the group in the middle of the pack of 30 teams. Wide receivers who perform for the Bears, the Vikings, and the Lions were all rated higher, all in the top 10. And the Greek national team rolled over Egypt Thursday in the FIBA Olympic qualifying tournament, 93-71. Greece did it without Bucks star Giannis Antetokounmpo, who suffered an injury against the Dominican Republic. It's not considered a major problem for the two-time NBA MVP. Before he was hurt, Giannis scored 32 in just over 18 minutes of court time. Whether he will play when Greece meets the upcoming Slovenia team in the semifinals tomorrow is still unknown. Morning Sports continues on WRCO. Mike Clemens talking Wisconsin sports with us today, sponsored by Julie Karen's State Farm Insurance. Well, Mike, we say good morning following a Brewer loss last night, split of a four-game series. What happened last night in the game?
Rockies jumped out to a 3-0 lead. Brewers they left men in scoring position, could not convert, ended up losing the game 4-3. So the thing was, you know, you're in first place, and now you're taking on a last-place team in the Colorado Rockies, and you're hoping, you know, four-game sweep, maybe we can really, you know, bank some wins here. because, you know, got the All-Star break coming up in a week or so. And instead, you know, they lost the first one. The second one they managed to win, but, you know, make a note, that was the first time the Brewers had won at Coors Field in their last six games. It broke a six-game losing streak whenever they went to Denver. And, you know, the topic becomes mile high, you know, the rare air. It's thin up there. And Pat Murphy, the manager, even admitted after, you know, Tuesday's game, like, yeah, it's tough for our pitchers up here, especially if you go seven innings like Colin Ray did, and very nice performance. But, yeah, the Brewers have a hard time adjusting sometimes to that environment. It does make a difference up there. So they end up going in a four-game series against this last-place team, the Rockies. They split it 2-2. And up next now, they're in L.A. against the Dodgers. They're a first-place team in the West. They're 6.5 games ahead of the Padres. Brewers have a six-game lead on the Cardinals. Last time I checked in this morning standings, as they, you know, take on a formidable team in the Dodgers this weekend.
And certainly it happens that way. It seems like the Brewers, they do better against the top teams. Sometimes you play to the level of your competition, don't they?
Yeah. Now, they lost three games in a row to the Phillies in Philadelphia, a division-leading team. But I thought that they were close games, you know, 1-0, 2-1. It was a really good test. Like, this is where you guys need to be. You young guys are going to need to be if you want to be in the hunt for this thing when you get into late August and September. And again, I would caution folks. I mean, I've just seen this so many times, this story repeat with these young Brewer teams. They get off to great starts. They get on these streaks in May and June. They come back from the All-Star break, and then these veteran teams, they put on their big boy pants, and they start winning 4 or 5, you know, 5 of 6. They have 7-game winning streaks and all that. And then, you know, that's when the Brewers start to get into some turbulence and some troubled waters, and maybe they make it to the playoffs. They're 1 and done, whatever. So here's the big question now. I mean, you know, the Brewers just continue to lose these starting pitchers. But here's the rotation right now. Freddy Peralta, who's 6 foot, big upper body. You know, he's the fastball guy. And then Colin Ray is your number two pitcher, I would say. It's 6'5" and more of a command guy. He had a really good performance the other night in 7 innings. Then next, you know, with Robert Gasser, who was so promising, but now he's out for a year and a half with Tommy John surgery. They picked up this Dallas Keuchel in a minor league trade from the Twins. He's 36, really good clubhouse guy. I've been around him now a couple of times. He might give up 4 runs in a game, but he seems to be able to get out of those, you know, 2 outs, 2 men on situations when you need it. And then they made another trade this week because they're so shorthanded for starting pitchers with this Aaron Civale. He's from the Tampa Bay Rays, been with a couple other teams before that, and I think he's 29 years old, right-hand pitcher, and he's going to make his debut for the Brewers tonight after just trading away a prospect infielder to Tampa Bay. He's going to be up with the Brewers tonight in Los Angeles when they take on the Dodgers, and I think it's Tyler Glasnow is the Dodgers starting pitcher. Two guys, actually, that were teammates a year ago in the Tampa Bay Rays.
Sometimes it changes the location. You know, you look at some of these guys, they're journeymen in the MLB, but they come into a positive clubhouse, and, you know, sometimes maybe they can turn it around a little bit. We hope these guys will on the staff, though.
I think, well, that's exactly what the story is with this Aaron Civale guy. And then when you go to some of these guys, even the guy he's facing, Glasnow, I remember him when he was with the Pirates. It's like, I remember that guy was hot. And that's it. An awful lot of these 28-year-old major league pitchers that have been in the league now about 5 years, they're hot for a year and a half or two. That's how they got promoted from the minors up, you know, to the big show. Then they, you know, they throw out their shoulder, or then they you know, they've got some sort of problems there, and they have a year or two of trying to come back from injury, and then after that, you know, they seem to be more experienced and figured out on how to take care of their bodies, or what it's like to get through at least, you know, 100 pitches and 6 or 7 innings of these games. And it's just, you know, part of the game that they deal with, trying to throw 95-mile-an-hour fastballs in these games.
Well, let's move to Bucks news. A couple of guys drafted last week, and they added a free agent, it sounds like, from the Lakers. And so what's the plan for the roster, Mike?
John Horst, the GM, did a really good job of describing that to us, Phil. Because, you know, all right, the Bucks are on the clock, 23rd, and they're selecting A.J. Johnson. And we're looking like, okay, what college did he play for? Who's this? And he's a speedy 6'5" kid, 19 years old, out of California, who had committed to play for Texas and then at the last minute changed his mind and went to go play in the semi-pro or the pro league, the minor league team, if you will, with Australia, where he played with a lot of sometimes 26, 27-year-old guys that had either been in the NBA or still aspire to get into the NBA. At least they're being paid for it. Didn't get a lot of playing time. But, you know, the scouts have been following this A.J. Johnson kid since he was a, you know, California high school standout. And they love his athleticism, his potential. So he's going to be a development player at just 19 years old. He was talking about something like one of his favorite players of all-time games, and Doc Rivers said that was like 3 years ago. he's shaking his head. And then they got, you know, another similar kind of kid with this Tyler Smith. He's 6'11". He played in the Ignite League, which they've now shut down, another G League kind of thing. Same thing. I think he had problems qualifying to get into college, but we talked to him, and he's all basketball, 6'11". I think he seems to be a kid that can be a good competitor. But John Horst, the GM, broke it down like this. He says, I've got six guys that, you know, we can name right here on our roster that could take you to the NBA playoffs, right? Starting with Giannis and Damian Lillard and Chris Middleton. Brooke Lopez, there's been a rumor for 2 weeks that maybe he could be dealt because of his age, and they could bring in like a 25-year-old if somebody really needed his experience at center, although I don't know what he would do at center. He says, I got six guys. Then we got two or three guys that are now, you know, been here for 2 or 3 years that we can give more playing time to. And then we got, you know, these prospects like we just brought in. And then we got room for three free agents, which they signed one from the Lakers. Like 2 days after he said that, this Taurean Prince, who's about 26 years old, and, you know, leaving a struggling Lakers team where he played in 78 games or appeared in, and, you know, averaged about nine points a game. Maybe he got about 10 minutes of playing time, 12 minutes of playing time per game. But that, when he broke it down that way, Phil, I thought, okay, you know, then they pretty much they're just going to rewind what they did last year. They think that they could pick up another guy or two. I don't know if they're going to make some big splash trade like, you know, trade Middleton or trade, you know, Brooke Lopez or something like that. Didn't seem like it, even though those rumors are still out there.
Yeah, a lot of talk about, well, you know, Bobby Portis is a fan favorite, too. I'd hate to see him go.
Right, you know, that kind of a thing. But, you know, the point was, who's some 27, 28-year-old guy that can bring us, you know, another 15 to 20 points per game and can fill the gap the next time you've got Damian Lillard out for two or three nights or Giannis. Giannis, did you see that tape of him the other night? He was in a, you know, he's playing for Team Greece this summer, and he got bent over some guy. And for a minute there, I can't imagine what it was like in the Bucks front office because it looked like he might have sprained his knee, but he's able to pop up, come back, and score like 18 points, you know, in a game the other night. But, yeah, he's out there playing for Team Greece, and the people back in Milwaukee say, slow down.
Yeah.
Slow down.
Nervous times. I always think about that, too, because these guys need some rest time on their bodies, and when they're playing for their home country, sometimes it's a little scary, isn't it?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, anyway, good stuff, Mike. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next Friday.
Thank you, Phil. Have a good weekend.
You too. Mike Clemens joining us here on WRCO, sponsored by Julie Karen State Farm Insurance.